Hi.
I'm trying to be a new person, but I'm not a new person. Hi.
Well, that was super short-lived.
I swear I'm friendly. Hey, I tell people good morning when I get into work. I didn't used to do that.
Yeah, I don't do that.
5 years ago when I started my first office job, everyone thought I was a bitch because I didn't say hello.
Well, I mean, do you really? I guess I say good morning if I have to. Sometimes I will still pull out my phone and pretend I'm on it when I'm walking into work. But I think people know the jig is up. I just am not on my phone. I just don't say hi to anyone.
Still. My floor is so quiet that you can hear the person on the phone when someone's on the phone. So I can't fake it. But it's fine because I actually like my coworkers. It's good.
Well, wait, hold on. I like my coworkers too. I just don't feel necessary to say hello. You see me, right? I'm there. You're there. We don't need to acknowledge each other. We're both in the same place. Thank you.
We're both in the same place.
Oh man. I am glad we didn't have as much technical difficulty this time getting on here as we did last week when it was a shit show.
I think some of it is the fact that we only recorded a few episodes after I moved. So I didn't have to battle with the configuration of my house. So like I wasn't familiar with it. My service downstairs is just bad. My place is just so big that my Wi-Fi doesn't reach down there. So I need a Wi-Fi extender.
You do. You should get like another router upstairs or something like that. Not a router, but like, what are those
the little
things?
Extender thingies you plug into the wall. Yeah.
Get one of those.
I need to get one, but they're like $100.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know they were that much. Oh, geez.
At least they were when I looked at them, and that's why I didn't get one.
Well, because I know we have one upstairs and we have one downstairs, and our service is pretty good until I don't plug in my headphones like you just discovered a few minutes ago.
Yeah. And like, I have a spare bedroom upstairs that I could use.
Do you use that for anything?
My dog really hates my kitchen floor, and it's on the other side of the kitchen. Like, she will not go in the kitchen because she doesn't like the floor. So she'll sit there and she'll cry at me if I go into that room. So, like, I either have to, like, drag her over there, which she really hates, and I don't want her to hate me. Or I have to pick her up, which she also doesn't exactly like because she's 55 pounds.
Why doesn't she like the kitchen floor?
She's so weird. She's so finicky.
Is it linoleum or wood?
It's wood with a gloss finish.
Oh.
So she's fine on, I have tile downstairs. She's completely fine with that.
That's weird.
We have laminate at work that she's okay with sometimes and then other, cause like I've taken her into work with me. And she's okay with it sometimes, but not okay others. She's perfectly fine on carpet, but like my kitchen floor, she hates. She that will is... not step on it. She will leap off a cliff to chase a ball if I throw it. She dropped her ball on the kitchen floor and it rolled away earlier today. Yeah. And it's sitting. It's like 15 feet away and she's staring at it, crying at it, but she won't go get it.
That is weird. Maybe she doesn't like the texture or it's slippery or something. But
it must
be
slippery on her feet because it's like a high gloss finish.
Oh, all right.
I think any other finish she would probably be fine with, but like... she's such a little princess sometimes.
Yeah, maybe she needs therapy. I don't know.
Anyway. This is our, I feel like so out of practice because we haven't done this in so long.
I know.
This is our official notice to everybody that we are going to be going on a bi-weekly release schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll step it up later if we are so inclined and if it makes sense to, but for right now we're doing it bi-weekly. That's just a better balance for both of us. And it allows us to do this and
still have our lives.
Yes. Moving on to today's story. I started researching one story, and in researching the one story, there was like another story that kept getting, like, you know, when you're reading a news article and then like at the bottom, it'll have links to like other similar stories.
Yeah.
Like every article I read about the main one referred to this other story. So then you started researching that one. Yeah, I was like, I'll put a pin in it. And then I was researching that one, and there was another one that one kept referencing to. And so I'm gonna tell you right now, extortion and food poisoning in Germany is a problem.
Oh geez.
That's what we're talking about today.
I love me some good extortion. And food poisoning. And I happen to be German, and Mexican. Anyways, just go on.
So, and because these are all German stories, and Germany has some really tight privacy laws when it comes to their, criminals and releasing their information, there's not, like, we're going to be stringing together a lot of, loose details.
Okay, I love it.
So our story starts in May 2018 when a man noticed a weird white powder on his sandwich.
As happens regularly.
We are jumping right in.
Yes.
And he didn't really pay attention. He noticed the white powder and he was like, oh, well, that's weird. But that was it.
That's it? Did he keep eating a sandwich?
Yeah, he just ate a sandwich. He was like, oh, that's weird. Chomp, chomp.
I mean, to be honest, I probably would too.
Depending on like the bread, right? Because like potato bread has like the extra flour on it. So I wouldn't notice if that.
Well, yeah, you wouldn't notice that. And like I dropped a nerd cluster on the floor the other day at the beginning of first period and I ate it at second period off the floor. So does that?
It's the same.
I mean, it's like the 10-second rule multiplied to equal 52 minutes. I don't know.
You know what? If you do that enough times, your immune system's got you.
I'm a rock.
You're good.
I'm good. Okay, go on.
So anyway, the next day, he brings his lunch into work. He sits down to eat it. And again, he noticed there's a white powder on it. And so now that it's happened 2 days in a row, now he thinks it's weird. And honestly, like, same.
Did it taste funny to him?
I don't think so. He didn't mention it. Honestly, I would probably let it go like 3 or 4 days.
Well, yeah, the second day, especially if it didn't do anything to you, like if he felt fine that night or.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Because like, I'm going to be honest, I don't always use the lights in my kitchen because I have an overhead light that lights the whole area pretty decently.
Yeah.
So like in the morning when I'm packing my lunch, I don't really turn on the kitchen light. It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
Who knows what got it? I don't know.
Exactly. White
some
powder.
Dandruff in there. Whatever.
Like you said, it could be ranch powder. I don't know. I mean, we all sprinkle that on. No?
You know what? We all like different things on our Subway order.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
To each their own.
So anyway, after the second day, he reports it to management. And management was insanely responsive. And this is where I start questioning if the story is real or not.
Uh-huh.
Because management immediately buys and installs a camera in the break room.
Well, then that means that this had happened before, probably. If they're that responsive about it, something has happened before.
At this point, no one really suspected anything.
Weird. Okay.
So this camera caught a man named Klaus. And because of German laws, all we have is his last initial. We don't even have his full name. He's Klaus O.
Okay.
So the camera caught a man named Klaus calmly walking into the break room, opening his coworkers' lunches, sprinkling some kind of powder on several people's lunches, carefully repacking everything, and then like putting it back in the fridge.
Oh, okay. I want to say first, how considerate, but second, weird.
I want to say first, get your hands off my food.
Well, but if he repackages it nicely. I mean, don't you ever have an urge to look through people's food just to see what they have?
Not
me neither.
Really?
Me neither. I mean,
don't lie.
Well, okay, yeah. I mean, what does it hurt?
I guess like there's not that many people that bring their lunch in my workplace. So because so many people order.
Yeah, I'm not going to unwrap your sandwich, but like if
that's what this guy did.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay.
He's like fully unwrapping their food, sprinkling something on it, and then repacking it.
I can see the problem there.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
I was a little worried for a second. So what's crazy is that like you said, the fact that management acted so quickly that someone must have said something. But yeah. What's crazy is like he did this to multiple people, obviously more than one day. No one suspected anything.
And no one's getting sick. No one is like suddenly ill or...
Well, that actually leads into my next point is okay. That many people were becoming sick.
Oh.
But like no okay. One put it together that yeah. Someone in the company was messing with food.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I didn't see exactly where, like what kind of company this was. I don't know if it was like manufacturing where it's like, oh, darn, those metal shards, they yeah. get you. Or like the radium girls was like, oh, your face is melting off. That's just a job hazard. Like, so I don't know if this was like a high sickness job.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay. Okay.
And so like, even when they caught this guy on video, no one believed that he was poisoning them. They thought it was just some like prank. Like he was sprinkling like powdered sugar or flour or something dumb like that.
Was he known for pranks?
No.
Okay.
I'll actually get into his character
okay.
later.
Okay.
So as a result of this camera footage, police went and conducted a search at Klaus's home, and they found a makeshift lab in his home with several heavy metals. They found lead acetate, cadmium, lead, and mercury.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so when they go in and they find all this, that's when they're like, oh, let's kick things up a notch, maybe.
Yeah. Okay.
And so when the investigation escalates, they started identifying several employees who were very sick, not just a little sick, very sick. Two of these employees were in a coma.
Oh, my goodness.
At the time that this was found.
At the time of the investigation?
Yes. Like when okay. this whole thing, like when the camera footage and the police going to his okay. house, two of them were in a coma.
Okay.
And a third employee was on dialysis.
Oh, wow.
So like these people were very sick.
Yeah, that's probably why management responded so quickly. Someone in there was probably like, these are all really odd coincidences.
I'm not sure. Every article made it seem like no one thought anything of
really?
It.
Really? Yeah. Two of your employees are in a coma. One is on dialysis. And one comes to you saying that they found white powder on their lunch.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Well, here's the deal. They were reactive about it. So they at least they did something.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So now that we have this happening, police began investigating several employee deaths at the factory.
Deaths. Like that had happened previously or that are yes. just starting to happen?
No. There was 21 employees that had died since the year 2000.
That is a lot. Oh, did you already say you do not know what type of business this is or what type of
I wrote factory. Now, granted, I actually have to tell everyone this because I think it's funny and hopefully they will too. I did most of this research a year and a half ago because I was ready to record this episode.
and then Kat
texted me that she was having a mental breakdown and we couldn't do this anymore.
At least it was text and not like a post-it. Like
but it was like 3 pages long. And then I swear, because I replied to you and then you didn't respond to me for hours, I'm pretty sure you sent that text and then threw your phone across the room. Am I right?
You're probably right. I have a fear of like texts. And like reading things. That's why
and
I don't.
Confrontation.
That's why I don't answer the phone. That's why, like, I'll send a text asking a question that even if the answer isn't like detrimental to anything, I still will live in fear of the answer and not want to read it. Like, it'll be something as simple as, hey, could you like, is there any way you could do this for me? And like, I don't even want to read the response of yes or no.
I really wish that I could have seen your reaction when you sent me the really cute photo of your daughter standing in your front yard. And then I sent you your address in response.
Oh, that's... And you knew how much my house cost.
Yes.
You knew, like, you knew when, you knew everything. Yeah, that's
that is... and that's from just seeing like three numbers from your house.
Yeah, that was a good time too. That was a good time.
Oh my god! In case anyone questions me and my powers.
Okay. Don't send her any pictures, that's for sure.
I will dig into them. Okay, so that is my apology for some of like my lack of understanding here. I actually went back and I read through all of my research. I didn't go down every single article, but like, I don't remember where this guy worked. I'm sorry.
It's okay. But what I was going to say was that I am sure, since like you said, it was a factory, I'm sure some of these things could have been explained away. I don't know what they're making in that factory, but I'm pretty sure some of those things could have been explained away. And that's probably why it wasn't
right.
a big, like, huge flag.
Yeah.
You know? Okay.
So anyway, when they identified these 21 people that had died since the year 2000, now we're in 2018, that's 21 people in 18 years. They devoted a 15-man task force into investigating each of the deaths more thoroughly.
Oh, okay.
And that's where like some of their privacy laws kind of come in, I think. Also the fact that I don't read German, so I don't think I could even find any German publications to get more details. Mm-hmm. I did what I could. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I saw the end coming and I was trying to give us a lighter episode. Yeah. It didn't work.
It did not work.
So investigators were trying to find a motive. Like, why was Klaus poisoning his coworkers? And so they were, between the investigation and interviews with victims, no one could define any reason that Klaus had targeted his coworkers.
Okay.
It was so just... this kind of goes back to your question about, like, was this, do, like, people think he would do this?
Yeah.
Coworkers said he really kind of kept to himself.
Okay.
He had worked in the same place for almost 40 years. They said he wore headphones a lot of the time. His manager described him as conspicuously inconspicuous.
Those are always the ones.
Yes. I feel like if you can sit here right now and me saying this stuff out loud, if you're thinking of someone, please go check on them.
Exactly. It's always those. And those type of people easily fly under the radar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one of the victims worked right next to Klaus for about 30 years.
Ugh.
He said Klaus rarely spoke and didn't really have any friends.
Well, he was probably bored.
Or he just enjoyed solitude and quiet.
Yeah, and he was bored and maybe wanted to spice it up, or he had been planning this all along, or he was one of those silent hate people. Like, he hated all of them and just, yeah.
Klaus's trial began in November of 2018, and I just want to say, like, I keep saying his name because I really enjoy the mouth feel of Klaus.
Klaus is a good name. That's like on Lemony Snicket. Isn't there a Klaus on
yeah, one of the children.
On the series of unfortunate events, yeah.
Also one of the best characters from The Vampire Diaries.
Also, there is a Klaus in the TV show The Umbrella Academy.
That's on my list. I haven't watched it yet.
You'll love it. Watch it. You'll like it.
It's on my list.
Okay.
There's so many things on my list. Yeah. I'm sorry. Victims that were still living were called to take part in the trial. Some could make it. Others could not. One of the men who could not make it said that he complained to his parents about a slight numbness and a weakness, and that feeling had increased over time in severity.
Mm-hmm.
By 2019, this man was in a complete vegetative state with severe brain damage with no sign of his condition improving. Ugh, and this is all from awful. Heavy metal poisoning.
Wow.
During the trial, a lawyer said that he wasn't really close to anyone at work. There were no real arguments. Like, this guy was non-confrontational. He just, I think he just liked his quiet. He's just a weirdo. I'm a weirdo. Yeah, just like my quiet.
Just like a volcano, honestly. Like, it lays dormant for a long time and then all of a sudden.
I don't know that this was all of a sudden, though. Like, it sounds like this was going on for years.
Then he was smart.
A psychologist that had spoken with Klaus testified that Klaus was acting as a kind of backyard scientist. He was interested in observing the effects on the of the toxins on his coworkers.
Did he explain all of this after, like, to the police? Did he explain why he did it and all of that stuff?
No, okay. Not at all. It was the psychologist that kind of speculated all of this. And the psychologist said that it seemed like he was a scientist who was testing substances on a guinea pig. Like, that's how he saw his coworkers, as nothing more than test subjects.
So he was probably had a touch of, like, Asperger's or something like that. Did wasn't really social and was curious. Not that that gives him the right, but I'm just saying, he's so quiet. It's not like he's doing this, like, for attention. He was doing this in his mind for his own knowledge.
For his own, like, sick enjoyment. But that, I feel like that even makes it worse.
It doesn't sound like it was for enjoyment. It sounds like it was just for curiosity.
Yeah, but when you're curious about something, don't you enjoy watching how it unfolds? For me personally, if I started doing some kind of experiment and I saw that it was causing severe illness and death in people, I would feel bad. I would not continue. But this guy continued.
I guess you're right. The sympathy part or the feeling bad part, I guess. You're right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So he was convicted on charges of attempted murder. I don't think that they could link the deaths to him, like, solidly.
Yeah.
So they more got him for, like, oh, we caught you poisoning food.
Okay.
And so we're going to call that attempted murder. He was sentenced to life in prison, which apparently is unusual for only attempted murder, especially in Europe.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But there was a ton of other people murdered, though. He killed 21.
But they couldn't solidly connect those to it. Like, they couldn't prove it.
Okay. Okay.
He was also sentenced to preventative detention after life sentence because judges believe there was a high risk he could do this again. And that's, like, a life sentence isn't always a life sentence. There's, like, the non-parole period and he could get out.
Yeah.
And this, he, from the time of his arrest through his conviction, he never gave any kind of explanation as to his motive. And the only public statement he ever made was at the very end of his trial. And he said, quote, "I fully endorse the remarks of my defense attorneys."
Oh.
That's all he said.
So he just accepted. He was just like, he didn't say he was guilty. He's just like,
that's
everything.
All he said. Everything my defense attorney said, I endorse. They said what I wanted them to say.
Okay.
Yeah.
Klaus. Sorry, bud.
And this kind of goes back to, like, you saying, like, he killed so many people, even though it sounds like they couldn't prove it.
Yeah.
There actually is a lot of discourse about this, that there's some debate over whether to call him a serial killer or not. Because if he killed all these people, that's a lot of people over a long period of time.
That is. But again, I'm still lean. I mean, I see what you're saying, that it was over a period of time. And like you said, if you were doing experiments, you would feel bad and you would stop or whatever. But, like, obviously, mentally, there's something off a little bit. And I think he was just, like, experimenting. And
but he knew what he was doing. And that's the key part, is he knew that what he was doing was killing people.
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't think I would call him a serial killer, because isn't the classification for serial killer obviously killing a bunch of people using kind of, like, the same technique?
Nope.
But was it? No, it's not. I thought they had to use, like, the kind of, like, have an MO, like, the same.
That's not a requirement. And actually, it's two or more people in two separate instances at least 30 days apart.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And also the FBI disagrees with you. Former criminal profiler Candace DeLong gave her professional opinion that he is a serial killer.
Oh.
She said he enjoyed causing suffering and killing, so there's no other answer other than he is absolutely a serial killer.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, then Klaus, you're a serial killer. You're the white powder factory serial killer. Did they name him?
No.
Oh.
Because well, they don't do stuff like that there, because that encourages people to be idiots that kill. Like, oh, what a cool nickname. No, you don't.
Okay, well, if you had to give him a nickname, Klaus.
Fuckface Klaus. I don't know.
Klaus the white powder house. Ooh, boom. No? Okay.
No. So that's the end of the story of Klaus.
Okay.
The next story is the one that I kept seeing being referred to while I was looking at Klaus.
Okay.
I'm going to let Cody scratch.
I was going to say, what is that?
In September of 2017, German police, chemists, and various supermarkets all received an odd email.
Okay.
This is a weird group of people to all be getting the same email.
Yeah. What was like the email?
The email explained that unless these groups came together to pay at least 10 million euros, up to 20 different kinds of food would be poisoned.
Okay.
And I did see some articles state as much as 11.8 million euros. I think that the disparity there is that, like, some English publications didn't understand that 10 million euros was about $11.8 million.
Oh,
so they reported 11.8 million euros and like $13.5 million, I think is the conversion, but
okay,
it's somewhere around there. A lot of money. That's a lot,
of money. Okay. So they all collectively had to pay this money or several different kinds of food would be poisoned.
Yes.
Okay.
There was then a follow-up email sent, which then detailed where some of the poison food was placed because they didn't pay up. And so this person sends another email going, well, here's where some poison food is, to like prove that he was really doing this. So the police followed this lead. They went to a supermarket located in a southern German city named Friedrichshafen.
Okay.
We're going to say that's good enough. They found five jars of baby food on shelves.
Okay. Five?
Five jars of baby food on shelves in a grocery store that had been poisoned with ethylene glycol.
How did so the person told them where it was and where to find it?
Yeah.
They didn't just go testing all like the baby food in that section, right? They just...
No, I think they looked for ones that had been tampered with.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But like that was his way of going like, hey, I'm serious, to prove to you how serious I am. Here's where you can find some of the poison food.
Well, can't they just go in the video camera at the store and see who was tampering with the baby food?
I'm so glad you said that because that comes later.
Okay. Okay.
But anyway, it was poisoned with ethylene glycol, which if you don't remember, which it, you didn't react, so I'm assuming you don't, it's the compound found in antifreeze.
Oh, we've had a couple of antifreeze cases.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So police put out a warning nationwide to everyone to be vigilant because they had no idea what was going to be poisoned. The email indicated there was 20 different kinds of food, but... And they were kind of certain that these five jars of baby food were going to be it. But they said, hey, please be careful anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Security cameras caught a man on film putting the poison baby food jars on the shelves.
There you go.
Yes.
Okay.
They took some still shots from this. They shared the images publicly and they asked anyone with information to come forward. Additionally, DNA was found on the jars, and when they compared the DNA to the security images later, that it was the same guy.
Okay.
The man was identified as 54-year-old Jochen S.
Okay.
He was arrested at his home about 2 hours away from this grocery store while he was walking his dog.
Wow, that's quite a trek to get to that grocery store to poison some baby food.
just to leave your DNA all over the jars and your and, face on the security.
Yeah, and on video. Okay. Yeah.
He did confess to poisoning the baby food in an attempt to extort money from the companies.
And I'm assuming he never got any money.
No.
Okay.
There was enough poison in each of the five jars to kill a child. So he was charged. Wow. He was charged with 5 counts of attempted murder.
Ouch.
Yeah.
What did he get?
What do you mean?
Like, what was his sentence?
We're not there yet.
Oh.
He was charged with 5 counts of attempted murder as well as extortion.
Okay.
Despite his confession, because he did confess to the extortion, he went to trial to fight the attempted murder charges. He claimed that he had borderline personality disorder and he was on excessive alcohol and painkillers when he committed the crimes.
Uh-huh.
But typical. An expert psychologist or psychiatrist. I just said expert.
Yeah.
An expert mental health person. An expert witness ruled out any mental illness and found him criminally responsible for his actions. This was because it took approximately a week to plan out and execute this plan.
Uh-huh.
And borderline personality disorder is characterized by impulsivity.
Okay.
So they said that he didn't execute this in an impulsive manner, and so he couldn't claim that borderline personality disorder is what made him do this.
Okay.
It was also found that he had a history of fraud and a criminal record of violent acts.
Well,
so he has a history of doing stuff like this. Because okay. of the privacy laws, I can't actually see what those violent acts are.
Oh, okay.
The police determined that his motive was money. Namely, he was in debt and he had reportedly been bankrupt for 30 years.
30 years bankrupt?
Yeah, yeah.
He doesn't have a job?
Well, so the debt had accumulated over time because he had tried and failed to create multiple business ventures.
Oh.
Okay. That included stuff like a fitness studio, an artist agency, and a cleaning company.
Okay.
All he really did was accomplish racking up more and more debt that he could not pay back.
Okay.
At the time of this, him poisoning the baby food, he had been trying to recreate himself as a dog trainer. And I think he was failing at this as well. And that's where the extortion plot came into his head.
Why am I feeling bad for like Klaus and now I'm feeling bad for Herman? Like, I feel like Herman was just trying to be out there trying
Herman
to.
Herman is the psychiatrist.
Oh.
This is Jochen.
Jochen. I feel like Jochen was just out there trying to make his own way and like.
Okay, but at a certain point when it's not working out for you, go get a real job and then make it your side hustle.
Well, I get that, but he's not like out there like. I don't know. Why am I feeling? This isn't normally me.
This is all your hormones coming out. This is all your feelings from the last 8 years coming out.
I think so. Like I feel bad for Klaus. I feel bad for this guy.
Can I leave this in?
No. Absolutely not.
I need some kind of explanation as to why you're feeling bad for these people. Otherwise, our listeners are going to think you're a nut job and that you're going to commit a murder.
Let's just say I'm at the age where my hormones are probably severely imbalanced.
Okay. So his neighbors described him as a loner for the most part. Again, okay. Another guy who's just kind of a loner. Yeah. He never married because along with all of his businesses failing, all his relationships failed as well. I can feel you increasing the pity for this guy.
I am. Like, he was just alone.
Okay, but at a certain point, you got to look at yourself.
I get that. But gosh, it feels like the world keeps bringing these two guys down. Well, not the other. Klaus really just was a loner, it sounds like. But this guy.
No, this is a guy trying to be a businessman when he's too dumb.
But at least he tried to be a businessman. I mean, did anything work out successfully for him?
No.
Well, that's just
sad. For 30 years. That's why I'm saying at a certain point, you need to go get yourself a real job and make your business your side hustle so that you can still be like a contributing member here.
I'm sorry, Jochen. Crystal's being awful.
I'm sorry that I expect more of him. Maybe it's a good thing I don't have children. So one neighbor reported that he only really got along with his dog and his two bunnies named Gin and Tonic.
Well, isn't that the cutest thing ever? You know, he had Gin and Tonic. He had his dog. I don't even like animals. And you see how this tugged at my heartstrings?
A little. I didn't even mean to. I'm sorry.
Yeah, come on.
Ultimately, he was found guilty of the attempted murder charges and he was sentenced to 12 years.
Oh, 12 years?
Yeah.
That's it?
This wasn't mentioned in any of the articles, but this is me personally speculating. I wonder if Jochen was inspired by a 74-year-old man that attempted to extort Haribo in December of 2016.
The gummy bears?
Yes.
Wow. I love Haribo gummy bears. Those are the best. Well, no. Is it Black Forest that I like?
Black Forest, I think, are the sugar-free ones. And if you eat too many, they make you, like, shit your insides out.
Which, honestly, I know when you're going through it, it's horrible, but you feel pretty clean afterwards
and dehydrated, and
just that's what your Stanley cup is for.
So this guy, the 74-year-old, was completely broke.
Okay.
And then after going through a treatment program for alcoholism, he had €3 to his name. That's it.
Poor guy.
So for his extortion, he actually started local. He threatened a local Lidl grocery store, and to really, like, bring home the threat, he sprayed butyric acid in the freezers to prove that, like, when he threatened to poison products, like, he was going to do it.
Oh.
So this acid in small doses is actually basically harmless, but it has a really strong, unpleasant smell. So I think that he did research to, like, have something that would seem like it would harm them, but it actually wouldn't.
Okay.
It didn't work, though. Lidl not only refused to pay him, but they reported him to the police.
Oh.
So, what is your all?
I just feel like...
I feel like we're going to hang up here and you're going to write a letter to, like, your local Safeway Albertsons that you're going to poison the food there because you don't like the lighting.
No, I'm not. But I might write a letter to these guys and say, I am sorry the world got you down. Man.
Okay. Anyway, when the local Lidl would not pay him, he moved on to bigger fish and he threatened Haribo, like the big gummy bear company, along with like corporate Lidl as well as Kaufland, which is another grocery store.
Wow.
And he told them unless they paid him 1 million euros in Bitcoin, so he's bringing it to the future, he would poison frozen pizzas, cheese, and gummy bears with potassium cyanide. And he gave them 10 days.
Frozen pizzas and what else?
Cheese, gummy bears.
Okay, this household would be dead if we lived up there. We would all be dead.
Oh, man. Please tell me, if you go shopping and you start feeling ill, you have to tell me because I need time to get down there to clean your house.
Exactly. Before the police get here.
So police examined the products that he had, like, threatened, but they found that they were fine.
Okay.
So he stepped up his game again. And he created some stickers at home because you can print your own stickers at home. And these stickers said, caution, poison. And then he went around to different stores just slapping them on Haribo packages.
That's pretty good.
So meanwhile, police were able to track his extortion letters and emails because he had sent some handwritten letters too. Okay. He tracked the letters to a post office that was like his local post office. And then they used his email IP address to like go directly to him.
Yeah.
He was arrested on December 24th, 2016. And when he was on trial, and remember, he was arrested in 2016, and Jochen from the previous story did his plot in 2017. That's why I think that maybe he heard about this and he decided to try this.
Yeah, maybe like read about it. Yeah.
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 So while this man was on trial, he confessed that he did try to buy potassium cyanide on the dark net. I don't know how he said he never actually received it, though.
Okay.
He claimed that he never meant to hurt anyone. He just wanted to send some of it to the companies to like drive the point home. And I think I actually believe him here.
I do too.
Because he never poisoned anything. And like to try and get them to believe him, he printed stickers. Like he didn't actually poison anything.
I love how he went and slapped them all on the package.
He told the court, "I'm really very, very sorry. What I did was completely idiotic."
Wow.
Basically,
he owned up to it.
He was afraid of poverty. He admitted that he was an idiot.
Yeah.
And he was sentenced to 3 years, 9 months for extortion because he never actually endangered any lives.
Yeah. 3 years, 9 months. Yeah.
So I want to tell you that, like, I told this in, like, all three of these stories in the order that they kind of daisy chained as I was researching.
Uh-huh.
This Haribo one was not the end of the line. There was, like, another one at, like, linked to this article. And then that article had another one linked. I'm telling you.
Wow.
Food poisoning and extortion is a problem in Germany.
I guess. Holy moly.
So I decided to stop at the three because I wasn't anticipating you feeling bad for them, but I'm kind of glad that I didn't keep going.
Oh my goodness.
So yes, that is our story.
Yay.
Stories.
I like it. Stories. Well, I have to research one. I haven't researched any yet. But there's like lots of stories, like since when we were on our little break. I feel like Ross and Rachel on Friends. We were on a break. I've seen a lot of cases that I want to do. Mm-hmm. So
my
we'll
brother
see.
Sent me one too that he thought would be good for our show to cover.
Oh, good, good. Okay. Really quick, because the Haribo gummy bears brought this to my mind. So I don't know if I've told you, because the obsession started during our break and I mentioned it before, but Nerd Clusters candy are like, I will admit I've been addicted to them for a while now. The people I work with know this and they give me gummy clusters all the time, like the Nerd Clusters. And I haven't told them that I quit them. I keep taking it when they give it to me, but they don't know that I'm trying to quit. And I've successfully haven't had a gummy Nerd Cluster in 2 weeks. But I like to have them in every single part of my workspace and in my car, and I don't touch them. And
like a smoker who's got his packs ever. Or honestly, you sound like me with the medication I take for my narcolepsy.
Well, see, that's something that you need. Here's the problem with having Nerd Clusters all around. So today in the car, I really wanted some really, really bad. They were right there in my center console of my car. And I suddenly personified the Nerd Clusters and was like, "No, motherfucker, I don't need you." And like, I was like battling my inner self with the Nerd Clusters there, but I still didn't eat one. Aren't you proud of me?
That works really well right now while it's cold. When it gets warm, those things are going to melt. And they're
that's
gonna
true. I should take them out of my car.
Don't eat them.
No, Okay, we veered off path too far.
That's fine. I actually kind of wanted to do, like, Because I almost feel like it's not fair to our listeners that we disappeared for a year and a half and we're coming back like nothing happened. And I kind of wanted to do like a segment, and maybe we'll tack this on as like a bonus episode or something, that we talk about what we actually did for the last year and a half.
Has it been a year and a half?
Yes.
Wow. It went by really fast. It did.
We'll see everybody in 2 weeks.
Hopefully, unless Crystal wants another breakdown.
Please don't. I need this.
Okay. Then I won't tell you that tonight. I was like, can I really do this? But I can. I can. I can. I can. All right. I'll see you later.
Bye.
Bye.